With WXPR News, I'm John Burton reporting. ArtStarts in downtown Rhinelander needs a new boiler, but because of the status of the building and the lease agreement the nonprofit has with the city of Rhinelander, it's not quite as simple as just replacing it. WXPR's Katie Thorson explains.
More than a decade ago, the city of Rhinelander voted to purchase the empty former post office from the federal government for $1 and lease it to ArtStart. Part of that lease agreement meant ArtStart pays for maintenance and repairs, which have added up to more than $340,000 at this point. Now the building needs to replace its boiler, which is expected to cost $185,000. ArtStart Program and Operations Director Ashley McLaughlin spoke to Rhinelander City Council at Monday's meeting.
Frankly, ArtStart cannot afford this. This might force us to no longer occupy the building. If we cannot heat the building, we cannot be in the building. We'll probably be okay through the summer, but we are concerned about it and our future in the building.
McLaughlin asked the city council to share the costs. ArtStart secured a grant from Focus on Energy for up to $50,000, which would cover the first year of the loan. McLaughlin suggested the next 4 years of the loan could be split between ArtStart and the city, with each paying about $15,000. City Administrator Patrick Reagan says while it may be only $15,000 a year, the city has already had to make cuts to make the budget work.
Because healthcare expenses are going up, they aren't going to go down next year. They will not go down, and it's going to get tighter and tighter and tighter. And whether it's something you guys want to hear or not, it's the absolute truth.
Some city council members pointed out that the city might have to take on more of the cost for replacing the boiler if ArtStart leaves the building and they try to lease or sell it to someone else. Alderperson Carrie Michalowski.
Either way, the boiler has to get fixed. So I think the fact of they're willing to partner in that and we share the cost, it makes it a whole lot easier to swallow than us having to replace a boiler.
Mayor Chris Hannis broke the tie vote to table the discussion until next meeting. For WXPR News, I'm Katie Thorson.
The search for a missing woman in Lac des Flambeaux goes on. 37-year-old Melissa Beeson went missing around her home in Lac des Flambeaux March 17th during the late afternoon. She was walking on a road she frequently walks on between Indian Village Road near Wayman Lane. That was nearly a month ago as the family's worries grow. Winnie Beeson is Melissa's mother.
She wasn't calling. She didn't come home. And she's always punctual on coming home or calling me and let me know.
Authorities have searched over 800 acres near the scene where she went missing. Now they'll be sending out an aerial team to widen the search area and hopefully bring Melissa home. Her family is desperately wanting to find out where Melissa could be.
Missy, I love you and miss you. Please come home or call. My phone number is still the same. I'm answering every call. Door is always open to you.
Anyone with information should contact the Lac des Flambeaux Tribal Police Department. Construction is scheduled to start next week on Highway 51 in Minocqua. It's the stretch between Front Street and 3rd Avenue starting on the north end of the downtown area. There will be an informational meeting about the schedule and traffic impacts for the project. That meeting is Monday, April 21st at 5 p.m. at the Minocqua Public Library. According to the information on the DOT website about the project, it's scheduled to start April 24th and go through October, but there will be no work between June 13th and September 1st during peak tourism season. A bipartisan group of lawmakers held a roundtable discussion in Walsall on the need for continued crime victim services funding. Jane Graham Jennings of the women's community says for many victims, services can be a matter of life and death, and the money can either go to one or the other.
So you can pay for it on the front end by providing the support and resources needed for people who have been hurt and traumatized to thrive and live. Or you can pay for it on the end, when there's a homicide investigation or a suicide investigation because someone who's been sexually abused just can't go on another day.
Attorney General Josh Call says these groups rely on federal funding from the Victim of Crime Act, which allocated funding based on a formula involving funds recovered in federal criminal cases, The state did use ARPA dollars to supplement that, but those funds have run out.
For a five-year period, $44 million roughly went to victim service providers through those programs. In the current federal fiscal year, which started October 1st, that number has dropped to $13 million. So that's a reduction of over $30 million, or about 70%.
State Representative Pat Snyder says they're hoping for some $30 million to keep the programs funded for the next 2 years, something that he does not think should become an argument.
I'm the chairman of the Children and Families Committee, and I tell my committee members that leave your R's and D's at the door because kids aren't political. Well, the same thing here with this funding and victim services. This isn't a political thing.
The group is calling on lawmakers to fully fund these programs as part of the next two-year state budget, with hopes that federal dollars will come in after 2027. Making maple syrup can be an unpredictable business. Now President Donald Trump's ever-changing tariff policies are adding anxiety about an industry that depends on cross-border trade. U.S. syrup producers often buy their equipment from Canada and get their packaging and equipment from China or Europe. Canadian producers sell nearly two-thirds of their finished products to U.S. consumers. All are affected by these steep new taxes announced by the White House. For WXPR News, I'm John Burton reporting.